That is not normal. And it's clearly a violation of the First Amendment, both a free speech and a free press, but it's also a violation of due process of law under the 14th Amendment.
In Judge Vogel's order, she refers to the jurors as my jurors. It almost sounds like she felt a responsibility to them to try to protect them. Do you happen to know if this is her normal operating procedure, or is this a special case with this particular trial?
Judge Vogel, to my knowledge, has been heading down this road for some time, often instructing jurors that they don't have to speak to the press after a trial has been completed. But these recent actions, actually a pronouncement, goes beyond suggestion. In fact, it was an order. So this order has been partially lifted in regards to journalists, but we don't know. It still may apply to the general public, meaning that the average citizen may still not be able to speak to jurors about the case. And this would include husbands and wives and friends and neighbors, total strangers, which I find incredibly disturbing.
And as far as a list of the jurors, that has still not been released as far as we know, right?
That's correct. So all members of the public, including journalists, should have access to a jury list. There may be some exceptions. In fact, there is some case law on this. But the exceptions are for extreme cases, such as jury tampering or the risk of personal harm to an individual juror. But even that's not theoretical. It has to be that there's evidence that there could possibly be harm to a juror. This is the court's preference, and that's not a good reason, in my mind anyway, to keep the public in the dark about the procedures in this particular trial. I think it's also critical that citizens in a functioning democracy understand how a jury delivers a verdict. So if we don't have access to a jury list because it's been sealed, that makes it a secret jury list, which to a degree makes it a secret trial. I don't think that's what we're about as a nation.
In the hearing that's coming up, your organization has filed a friend of the court brief. Does that mean you'll be giving testimony as well?
The arguments right now would be the Providence Journal as the plaintiff and the Superior Court as the defendant. But our lawyer who drafted the amicus brief for not only the New England First Amendment Coalition, but also WPRI, WJAR, the ACLU, and the Rhode Island Press Association. So there's a big list. His name is Tom Lyons. He will be there. And if he's invited to speak, he will.
Do you have any clue as to what the defendant's defense is going to be or what they're going to claim is the reason for this?
Privacy, probably. But I don't think it's a good enough reason.
Has it worked in the past?
Actually, this is becoming more, I think, of an issue, not only in the courts, but in all sorts of places in government. So to me, there's no question that privacy is important, but the public's right to know is also important. In fact, I would contend that it trumps privacy on any given day. And I just want to be clear to your listeners that this is not a journalism issue. This isn't really even just a press issue. This is a free speech issue. I want people to sort of think, suppose this were your son or daughter as the victim or even the accused. Wouldn't you want to know how and why the jury decided their fate? Wouldn't you want to know that your child got a fair shake in a court of law? I think this is a wake-up call, a rally call for citizens. We wait for the sledgehammer, but that's not how totalitarian governments are born. It's actually one chisel chip at a time. And so when we see these things happen, then we really have to speak up. We really have to take notice and we really have to act.